I on?
I'm on.
Man, it's good to be here and it's good to see you. I always enjoy coming back here and seeing familiar faces and new faces. And it's been our joy for the last 39 years to be coming back here and seeing you. Actually, the first time we were here, this building wasn't finished. We were over in the other church, and not the original. Not the original church. We're not that old, okay? And it's just such a privilege. And Pastor Lasley has been such an encouragement. And Pastor Jenkins now is just nice to see the children grow up and take over things around here. I cannot believe our son is probably 2 years older. Matthew was born in 41? No, that's when you were born. You know, I like the last church I was in, he had a big eraser underneath it that said, whoops, and you could hold it up. So, but what a joy it is to be with you and to realize that, so many things have happened from this church that God has used and blessed people around the world, and because of you, many souls have come to know Christ as their Savior. Churches have been built, missionaries have gone out, and the challenge has been taken on. And you folks, I don't know if you realize it, but when we're on the field, you are a challenge to us to realize that you stand behind us and we're not out alone on the field. We have people that are looking to us to do something. And sometimes when you're in a very isolated spot, it would be very easy just to sit back and do nothing because no one can see you but the Lord. But it is good to know that there are folks like you praying for us, standing behind us, supporting us, and have been faithful to us just for so many years. So many years. You are precious to us. And I was talking with Pastor, realizing that whenever you have a missions conference, it's more than just a conference. It's more than just getting together for a few nights. It is uniting hearts together in the Lord Jesus Christ to reach souls for eternity. And it is an everlasting work that we are doing here tonight. This isn't just something for the night. And it isn't just something to get a little money to stand behind the missionaries. It is doing God's work to reach a world for Christ. And that's serious business. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you would guide us as we look into your word, that we would think upon those things that you have put before us, that our hearts would be enraptured with the grace of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would realize that we have a message to bring because we have a Savior. We have a God who cares. And in a world that stands so lost and dejected and trapped in sin, we thank you that you can send us out with the joy of everlasting life, hope, peace, and eternity to live with you. Father, direct this night that everything that is said and done would be above board, acceptable in your sight, and honoring to the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Tonight, I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, and if you would turn to Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to be reading from a very familiar text to you, I'm sure. I'm going to try to move right along tonight so I don't take a long time. I feel like I could probably preach for about 2 or 3 hours right now. You all look so interested, and you're not thinking about commercials or anything else. You're excited about the things of the Lord. That makes a preacher just want to go on forever. And you might know when we used to preach to Muslims, I could preach for an hour and a half easily. And they would listen with rapt attention. You know, it's just so good to see Americans the same way. Just seeing you interested in the house of God and being here. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Something is looking drastically wrong with what I'm looking at here. Folks, I'm embarrassed. I don't know. I gave you the wrong book. Excuse me. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to say I'm preaching something different. Oops. I wish I had that eraser. Folks, if you have red letter print in your Bible, it's probably about the same color as my face right now. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. And he, Jesus, withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea, and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now I want you to envision what I'm saying tonight, because this is going to be in two parts. The first part, I want to take you to the events that are going on, but in order to get an understanding of this, we have to realize that this was a big house where these people were meeting. It had to be a big house. Later in the story, we find that the men that went up on the roof tore up the tiling on the roof. Only expensive houses had tiling in this part of the country. So it had to be a very expensive house. And you'll notice that everyone that was coming was of an elite class. These were the elite. These were the doctors. These were the religious leaders. And they're all gathered together to hear Jesus speak. Now, that means this is a very serious meeting, and he was healing people, and this was an exciting time. And in the midst of this, we have a great disturbance. Now, if you can imagine being in a very expensive home, very expensive, with the mayor and the senator and all of the religious leaders, everyone present in the house. You can imagine the aristocracy, more or less, all thinking they're very puffed up, very dressed in their best clothes, all looking very nice and trying to look very impressive. And so we go on in the story, and in verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling of his couch, with his couch, into the midst before Jesus. Now, stop to think of this. Here are all these elite people, and all of a sudden, these men start to break open the roof. Now, if you've ever seen the structure, the architecture, they usually used rough beams, and they would put in straw and pack in mud, and on top of that mud, they would make it flat and put the tiling in. So when you break up the tiling, you're getting all kinds of dirt and dust and sticks, and can you imagine, they had to get that man through that hole, so it's no small hole, and here are all these elite muckety-mucks standing there with dirt all over them. Things falling on them, all their precious robes getting dirty. Now, if you know about the Pharisees, they wouldn't even let dust get on their clothes out on the street. They would come home, take off their clothes, shower, change. They'd all change clothes so they wouldn't have any foreign dust on them. And here they are getting covered with dust. And not only that, the elite person that was there, the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the midst of it, they put him right at his feet. So he also had to be covered with dust and dirt. Can you imagine what a turmoil that would be if someone tried to break this open and all of a sudden you folks getting all full of dirt and dust and sticks? It would be a lot of turmoil and there'd be some really upset people. It's amazing how people that are determined can disturb the elite. But sometimes they need to be a little disturbed. But anyway, here they are. You have this unusual setting, and all of a sudden, these men come, and in their haste, they bring this palsied man. Now, if you stop to think of this man, this palsied man, they believe when you study Scripture that he probably had what was called a general palsy, which meant it first started to eliminate the function of the arms, the hands, and so on, to where they couldn't work, but it also affected the internal organs. Now, this man was probably getting close to death. They probably, his friends were in such a hurry to get him to Jesus because this man was more than likely on his deathbed, getting close to death. They were desperate people. And so here's this man, and I want you to stop to think about a palsied man for a minute, facing death, someone who doesn't know what to do about his life. Now, the man is Jewish, and he knew that to have forgiveness for his sins, he would have to get down to the temple. He would have to offer a sacrifice. He had no means to do so. He couldn't get out. Have any of you ever been sick and lay in bed for days on end? You have a lot of time to think. And I imagine this man is laying there thinking, what am I going to do about my sin? How am I going to get my sin problem taken care of? I can't get a sacrifice to the temple. What am I going to do? And I believe this man was more than palsied in flesh. This man was palsied in heart. This man was terrified. He knew he was dying, and he wanted help. And he thought, and his friends said, we've heard Jesus is in town, and people are getting healed. Let's get him there. And so they rush him over, they break open the roof, and they put him down before Jesus. Now, can you imagine what was the purpose of Jesus Christ? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And here he is standing in this room. They break open the roof, and they put that palsied man right in front of him, the object of his incarnation, the objective to seek and to save that which is lost. And he said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Can you imagine? This man came looking for physical healing so he could make it to the temple. Now, we know from the rest of the story that after he said this, people were thinking, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus asks the question, obviously, which is easier, to say, man, take up your bed and walk, or your sins be forgiven? Obviously, to take up the bed would be much harder because you can't see if the sins are forgiven. So this man's laying there hearing this unusual statement made to him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee, are forgiven thee. And here is a man that is radiating out of him a purpose for him wanting to see Jesus, the ultimate purpose. When Nicodemus came to see Jesus, Jesus didn't talk about anything with Nicodemus except that you must be born again. Ye must be born again if you want to get to heaven. He knew what was on Nicodemus's heart. And as you study the life of Jesus, he always addressed the key issue with each person he dealt with. This man was seeking to have his sins forgiven. And Jesus addressed that issue. And I'm sure that this man laying on the floor in front of Jesus is probably thinking the same thing that the people in the room are thinking. Who is this to forgive me of my sins? I came here to get healed. Can this man really heal me? Can he forgive me of my sins? Only God can do that. And then the Lord says, but that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say unto thee, take up thy bed and go home. Can you imagine that man laying on the floor and just starting to move that leg out? Say, that's the first time I ever moved that leg. That's the first time I've done that in a long time. Pretty soon he sits up, gets up, and can you imagine the excitement that just flooded that man? He didn't have proof he was just healed. He just had proof his sins were forgiven. Can you imagine how excited that guy was? Here he is going home. He goes up the front door, knocks on the door. His wife opens the door. Ah! What are you doing here? You can't walk. You know, can you imagine the excitement that hit that home? I mean, I'm sure the neighbors came over, friends came over, enemies came over, everyone came over to see this. Can you imagine the thrill that was in that home? And that man can say, not only can I walk, but my sins are forgiven. What a thrill. What a thrill. And you know something? That's exactly what missions is about. That's what missions is about, is to take the palsied people that are paralyzed in sin and dying in their sin and put them at the feet of Jesus, that his compassion, they can not only feel it, but know it and know it's real. And they can go out with a joy in their heart that not only do they have hope in this life, but they have hope for eternity. Their sins are forgiven. Now, the reason I have brought this up tonight is to let you know that this world is loaded with people that are spiritually palsied. They cannot help themselves. They are on their way to hell in their sins. And they need people to carry them. They need people that can get them to the feet of Jesus. And just for the sake of illustration, I'm going to have to use four men carrying that palsied man. I'm not going to call anyone up here tonight. I'd love to do that, but I don't have the poles and the cloth. But in that day, they'd take a pole and put a cloth in it, and it'd take a man at each corner, just like a stretcher. And I'm going to take four men, four women, just four people, and I want you to consider which corner of that cot you would carry for a palsied man. Which one would you carry, if not all four corners, if you could? And you see, it's not going to be easy to win everyone to Christ. It's not easy to get everyone to the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of work. But I think there's four things that if we would personally indulge ourselves in and just immerse ourselves in, I think we would really see results for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need them. And we need them in this country as much as anywhere else. I think the very first thing that we need to look at is that of one of the biggest cancers touching our churches today that is hindering missions probably more than anything, probably hindering most churches more than anything, and that is your private prayer. Private prayer. I'm not talking about prayer with your spouse, prayer in your church. I'm talking about you in your prayer closet. Getting together with God and spending time with God in serious, serious prayer. Communing with God. Brother Brower's here and Tammy Brower, they know... Greg Wagner and I were in Kenya, and we were going to Tanzania to look where we could start a church in the city of Mwanza. That's where the Browers are now. And we went down there. We had to get a motel room for the night, or a hotel room. And we had a meal out, and we had a good African meal. It tasted good. And we went to bed that night, and when I woke up in the morning, I looked over and I saw Greg covered with his blanket, just groaning and moaning and just rolling around in his bed. And I thought, oh, good night, he's poisoned. He got something bad last night. I'm going to have to haul him to the hospital. And for an hour, that man was just over there. I thought I got to get him to the hospital. Something's wrong. And I got up, and just as I got up, he pulled the covers back and said, good morning. I said, are you okay? He said, I'm fine. He said, I just had good time in prayer with the Lord. I thought, oh, my. I thought I had to take him to the hospital. And that man told me that unless he had an hour with the Lord in prayer, he said he'd just get too full of himself. And he just couldn't live right unless he had at least an hour with the Lord every single morning. And you know something? He embarrassed me because I never took an hour like that before I got out of bed. He had spent an hour before he ever put his feet on the floor. But I found out you can pray in bed. You can make your bread a bed, an altar where you can seek God before you ever put your feet on the floor. But do you seek God? You see, until you seek God, I don't believe you're going to really do anything for God. I really don't. You may put on the show, and you may come to church, and you may do some things, but if you're not going to get alone for God, how do you expect God to speak to you? And for him to tell you what to do, or are you just doing what you want to do? We should be doing what God wants us to do, and we're going to know that through prayer and through the study of the Word of God, obviously. But folks, I believe it's one of our biggest cancers that we do not have private, personal prayer with God. But I believe that's one of the most effective corners to missions, that you folks are praying individually, giving yourself to prayer. That takes time. It takes energy. But it's sure blessing. It's a rich blessing. You'll never find a greater treasure than meeting God and talking with God. There's a second corner I'd like to talk about. And by the way, if you're going to reach palsied people, you better start praying for them. And if other people are going to reach palsied people, then you need to be praying that they can reach them and reach them with the Word of God. But second of all is powerful participation. I want you to notice that when these men came with that cot, they couldn't get in because of the multitude of people. And you know, a lot of people would just give up when the going gets tough. Listen, it's going to take time, and it's going to take a lot of participation to win people to Jesus Christ. It takes work. It takes effort because we have an enemy. We're fighting the devil. We're fighting the world. We're fighting our own flesh. We have a challenge before us, and it's going to have to be determined that we are just going to powerfully participate in something. Now, these men went up there and ripped off the roof. You'd say, well, would you? Oh, listen, I know he's important to you, but are you going to destroy somebody's roof just to see his sins forgiven? You better believe it. You better believe it. You know, you can always replace a roof, but you can't replace a man's soul once it's lost. And you've got to really participate and put some energy into it. And I know some of you folks have. Some of you have done some great work around here. And you go out soul winning, and that's tremendous. But does everybody go out? Do all of you go out? Do all of you participate? Would you pick up a corner and participate in missions? In missions? It's important. It's important to God. But then there's a third thing, and that would be precious sacrifice. In Romans 10:14, it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? You know, one of the greatest things that God has given to every one of us is time. One of our most precious, valued possessions in our life is our time. And I know many of you, when you work, you give to missions. This is your Faith Promise Week. And that's important. But you know, when you give, you're giving more than just money. It took time to earn the money. You're giving of your life. And it is a precious sacrifice. When you give your finances to missions, you're not just giving money, you're giving your lifetime to missions. And God honors that. God honors that kind of sacrifice. It is a precious sacrifice to give of yourself in time to finance missions. Now, I believe you have a goal of, is it 320,000? 320,000 for your missions. That's incredible. And that's exciting. But you know, when we see that as missionaries, we realize that's your time. We can't waste that. We can't just let that dribble off to the side. You've put your lives into a precious sacrifice to give. But the question is, are you willing to give? And it's not that, you know, it's just a missions conference. It's souls for Christ. It's a world that is in need, a paralyzed world that needs to be carried to the feet of Jesus. That's what you're giving for. You're giving that souls can be brought to the compassionate heart of Jesus and find their sins forgiven, healed within their own hearts. But there's a fourth thing also, personal involvement. Your personal involvement. Have any of you ever considered going to someone in your family and sharing the gospel with them? You know, sometimes family's the hardest. You know, sometimes they just look at you like you're some kind of crazy nut and don't know anything because you're family and family doesn't know anything. Have you ever noticed the neighbors always know more than you do? Anyway, but have you ever considered just going to your neighbors and sharing the gospel? Have you ever considered going to the mission field? Have you ever considered that maybe God's asking you to help carry somebody to Jesus in a foreign land? Now, some churches, and I believe in a sense it's very right, they put up a sign, you are now entering the mission field over the door when you go out of the church. But really, going to the mission field means leaving your home. It means probably leaving a good part of your family. It means maybe leaving your language. It means leaving everything, and the people are going to make fun of you when you can't speak, and that's very true. And they're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock you. You're going to feel like an idiot. But you know, what are you willing to do as far as a personal involvement? Are you going to let people stop you because you could get embarrassed? I was embarrassed tonight. I felt like stopping, but you don't. You keep on going. I don't have that eraser with oops on it. You know, we live with oops. You know, we're making mistakes all the time. However, you know, you can make mistakes, but you just keep going. You just keep going. And it takes personal involvement. I was at a church in Jamaica, and the man that's been preaching for me these 5 weeks we're home from Jamaica, he asked his church something I thought was very, very interesting. He said, how many in my church, right here, would be willing to go across the street and tell your neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ? And there was a lady, she put her hand up, yeah, oh yeah, that'd be great, that'd be great. Said, how many of you would be willing to go out into Jamaica and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? She said, oh yeah, that'd be great. He said, how many of you would be willing to go to the United States and tell somebody about Jesus? Oh yeah, 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 that'd be great. Said, how many would be willing to go to China and tell people about the Lord Jesus? Mm-mm. She drew the line. She said, enough is enough, Lord. And you know, I ask you the question tonight, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line? You get excited about some things, and then God says, I would have you to do this. And you say, all right, Lord, you've been reasonable up to this point, but now you've gone too far. Folks, where do you draw the line on prayer? You say, I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. What about your sacrifice? Well, Lord, you know I just have so many expensive, and Walmart's really expensive. Sorry. Anyway, folks, we put so much out there ahead of our sacrifice. We just are willing to buy about anything. But when it comes to sacrifice, do we draw the line and say, Lord, you know, I just, the line is here. And I'm willing to give you everything on that side, but not this side. That's just too much to ask of me. How about just, you know, really getting involved with some kind of participation? You know, really participating in something. And you say, well, I'll be glad to do it, you know, this night and this night, but that night the football game is on, and I won't be there for that. You know, where are you drawing the line? Where do you draw the line? And in just personal involvement, you say, Lord, I'm willing to go across the street, but if you ask me to go across country or go to another country, I think that's too much. That's where I draw the line. I won't go that far. The Lord said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You know, if the Lord asks you to do something, are you willing to do it? That's the question. If God asks you to do something, are you willing and ready to do it, no matter what it is? Are you prepared to do that? To see paralyzed people that are paralyzed in their sin, won for Christ, saved, brought to the Lord for eternal life. I want you to stop to think of something as I close now. I want you to think of yourself as that paralyzed person. Someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, has no idea how to get to heaven, and you're wondering what to do about your sin because you know you're a sinner, and you don't know what to do about it. And you're laying on that cot and you're saying, I can't do anything for myself. Wouldn't you like some friends to help you? Wouldn't you like someone to come along and say, I will carry you to the place where you can get help? Wouldn't you want someone to help you? Then I think, if that's the case, shouldn't we be willing to help them to find Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask now that you would work in our hearts, our lives, Lord, to show us where we fall short, where we're unwilling to go, where we draw the line. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a big eraser that says, oops, I drew a line, and erase it. Lord, would you help each one of us come to the place where we are willing to come to you and say, Lord, whatever you ask of me, you are my Lord and my Savior. I am your servant. I am yours to command. Lord, help us this night to be committed to this. And Lord, if there be someone here tonight that is palsied in their sin and does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're worried about their sin and their eternity, I pray tonight that they might find the joy of coming to the feet of Jesus Christ, finding that forgiveness, finding that freedom, finding that healing of spirit and that joy that lifts them and excites them and gives them opportunity in this life to say, it has been so good to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd be with this conference. Continue to be with everyone that is here. And lead us, Lord, that the results of this mission conference might truly allow many, many palsied people to stand from their pallet laying on the ground, to stand up and rejoice in salvation. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.
Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I never want to take for granted that everybody here is saved, born again, on the way to heaven. If you're not sure you're saved, come, let us take a Bible. We'll share the gospel with you. Or maybe God's speaking to you as a child of God about your prayer life, about picking up one of these corners, getting involved, participating, sacrificing. I sure hope you're praying about faith promise, what the Lord would have you to give. Maybe some of you want to come and just get on your knees and ask God to lead you, to guide you, to help you. Pick up a corner and go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take it, use it in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. God is speaking to you. Come now. Would you do it as he sings?
I can hear my Savior.
The Lord is speaking to you. Come now.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy
finished. Oh, I sure hope we all mean that. I sure hope we mean that. We're in the midst of folks tonight with these precious missionaries who have proven by their lives that they mean what we just sung. They've gone where the Lord has led them. But can I say this to you? If across the street is the will of God, you're as much in the will of God as somebody who goes across the ocean. But if across the ocean is where God wants you, then across the street you're out of the will of God. Do you understand what I'm just saying to you? You can't witness to the wrong person. I understand that. But if God wants you there and you're here, you're out of His will. But if He wants you here, then do His business here. And ask God to lay on your heart financially, what would you have us to do to help get the gospel there? See, no matter where people are, world evangelization is on our heart. And I know these missionaries feel the same way about it. You're not just trying to reach Jamaica, you're trying to reach the world. You're not just trying to reach Tanzania, you're trying to reach the world. You weren't just trying to reach Indonesia, you're trying to reach the world there. We're trying to reach the world. Put it well, it's eternal business. Forever. I feel God's Spirit. This is the heartbeat of God, that souls may be saved. May God give us a bigger burden. May we do our part to get the gospel to as many people quickly as we can. Realize that we're going to see the Lord some glorious day. We're going to see Jesus. That's reality. And that's enough to carry you through. I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. Let me give you a few announcements we'll dismiss. Remind all church members, if you're going to be here Sunday night, if you haven't signed up to bring something for the Taste of Nations, please do that. We need some more people to sign up for that. That sign-up sheet is out in the lobby out there on the bulletin board. Please sign up to bring something. Can it be an American food or another food? Please sign up for that. All children, sixth grade and under, their passport, if they don't already have one, and their poster is all available over in the gymnasium. Let me remind you as well that all the children who get all 8 stamps, if they get all 8 stamps, and they'll receive the final 2 stamps on Sunday evening. If they get all 8 stamps, they're going to have a special treat during the Taste of Nations on Sunday night. Tonight, the children will be traveling to Mexico, Brother Hernandez, and will be traveling to Jamaica, Brother Miss Lindquist. They'll have the stamps. You're going to go see them. Let me go ahead and dismiss all the missionaries. If I could just give you a head start, all the missionaries who have a display, if you'll make your way over to the gymnasium. Let me invite all of you to stay. We have another just small item to eat tonight. Even if you cannot stay long, just go through the gymnasium, grab a quick bite to eat, go around, shake their hands, and leave, okay? But if you can't stay with us, please stay with us, okay? Let me have all of those who have children elsewhere in the building. I'll go ahead and dismiss you at this time. If you do have a child that has not received a passport, you need to take them to the table. Brother Bob will be there. That'll be good. Okay? Let's pray. Bless the food. We'll be dismissed. Please stay with us. Go to the gym. Grab you a quick bite to eat. Mingle with the missionaries. That'll be good. Father, bless the food now. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, please be right back in your place. Okay? God bless you. Thank you.